Morning, as I said, Hebrews, book of Hebrews, until we know for certain what book we're going to go through, this impressed me greatly. We call this a Bible study, and that's what we do. We're studying God's Word, but I hope and pray, always hope and pray that it's more than just studying a book. It's more than just learning some truths, but rather I hope the Lord will speak to us through His Word. This is exactly what this passage says. The Word of God is quick, it's powerful. The quick and powerful Word of God. If the Lord doesn't speak to us, we won't profit from them. He doesn't truly speak to us, and this is His voice. Faith, Scripture says, faith cometh, how? By hearing the Word of God. Hearing. We place a lot of emphasis on hearing the Word preached. Why? Because God does. How shall they hear without a preacher, Scripture said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Look at Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, being found in Christ, any of you. Now that's, every person in this room needs to hear this, including me. Lest any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. That is, he's talking about Old Testament saints, Israel. The word was preached, but he says it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word was preached, and they heard it with their ears, but they didn't hear it with their heart, did they? And they said, eventually, most of them began to say, it's just Moses. That's just Moses. We've known him a long time. He's no different than us. He's just a shepherd. Some of them even said, who does he think he is? Moses didn't think he was anything. But the Lord did. And the Lord said, if you don't hear him, you won't hear me. They said it of Joshua. After a while, we've known him since he was a boy. Yeah. But the Lord sent him, didn't he? Chapter 1, God calls his preachers ministering angels. Ministering spirits. In chapter 1, look at verse 7. It says, of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. The Lord took James and John, and he called them Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. They were just fishermen, but he turned them into sons of thunder. Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's all angel means anyway, is a minister. A messenger. Chapter 2, look at it, verse 1. Therefore, since the Lord sent His messengers, should we not give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip? Let slip means let it slide, let it pass away. Don't retain it. It just passes away. And this happens all the time. It happens every service. The Word of God. Listen to me. Are you with me? This happens every time. We're in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. The Word is preached and it doesn't return void. God's Word doesn't return void. He said that. It will accomplish what I send it to. And where two or three are gathered, the Lord's going to bless them. They're going to hear Him. They're going to hear Him. Bless God. He's so faithful. He said, you just preach the word. Timothy, preach the word. And somebody's going to hear it. And I was reading a large book by Brother William Romaine. And a very deep book, very difficult book to read. But it was a preacher's book. And I was blessed by it. And he said one thing in there that just cheered my heart. And he wrote this long, laborious book. And he said, if only one person profits from what I'm writing, then I will have achieved what I hope to achieve. He said, I hope many, but if only one person. And so I need to keep that in mind at all times. I stay greatly discouraged. But at any rate, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, have heard. That means past heard. What we heard. Lest at any time we let them slip. And it happens all the time, every service, as soon as the word is preached, the service is over. Someone starts talking about anything. Everything. Talking about themselves. And our Lord talked about this. He said, so the word of God is sown like seed and hopefully on good ground. But some falls to the wayside. And the fowls of the air, that's the thoughts and cares and things we on our minds come and just pick it away, and you didn't get one thing. And the Scriptures talks about quenching the Spirit. The Spirit of God takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. This is the one thing needful. Nothing matters. Vanity of vanity. Everything and everyone in this world except God's people are vanity and perishing. And this right here is life. Words of life. It's a bad sign if we can't retain anything. And if we're just immediately when it's over, let it slip. And look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, we're building up to Hebrews 4. Chapter 3, verse 7 says, wherefore? And look with me how many times it says this. As the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice. Today. Today. The gospel is preached today. Today. Right now. This is today. That we don't know for sure if there will be a tomorrow. But this is today. And so he says, if you will hear His voice, not the preacher preaching, but His voice. If you will hear His voice. If you will. You know, the Lord hears, you know, we're not going to hear unless we call on the Lord and ask Him to give us ears to hear. The seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord hath made them both. The Lord has to give us ears to hear. So, and he says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, he'll give you an ear to hear, Lord. And I need to hear it then. I need to hear it. Hear. If you will hear His voice. Verse 8, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, or that is, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my work 40 years, I was grieved with that generation. They always err in their hearts, he said. They have not known my way, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily why it is called today. That's what he said in Hebrews 10, didn't it? Hebrews 10, let us not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, Christ's return. And He may come tonight. If we really thought Christ was coming tonight, how would we listen to this word? We wouldn't be thinking about anything else. We would know nothing matters. I'm going to do this, going to do that. Maybe, maybe not. The Lord may come for us tonight, right now, in an hour or so, in death. But so this is life. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me today. Verse 13 says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin, all that means is deceitful. It deceives us into thinking, oh my, into thinking there's a tomorrow. Verse 15 says, while it is called today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. While it's called today, it's his voice. It's preached by a man, yes. Always has been. Except when Christ was here. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake unto the fathers how? God didn't speak out loud. He spoke to all the Jews, all the fathers, through men. And after a while, they started hearing them, and they thought, that's just Moses. That's just Ezekiel. That's just Isaiah. That's just Jeremiah. He's just ranting and raving. No, it's just a man, all right, but he's repeating what God said. That's all he's doing. If God sent him, that's exactly what he's doing. And it's his voice. It's God's voice nonetheless. So, chapter 4. Now let's go over here. So this is why he says to us we need to fear. Verse 1 and 2. Let us fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you, should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. Oh my. The gospel is preached to us every time. Blessed gospel. What a gift. And there's not many people have it. The gospel is preached unto us. And so verse 7 says, he limits a certain day in David. Today. Here it is again. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. After so long a time. After hearing it so long. Could someone, after hearing the gospel so long, fall away? That's exactly what happened to the Israelites. Only 2 over 20 entered the promised land. And they heard Moses. After so long a time. You know, it's a good sign if after so long a time you're still hearing it. And not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. After so long a time, if you're still hearing it, that's a good sign. But after a long time not hearing it, that's a bad sign. If we grow dull of hearing or hard of hearing, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. Our Lord gave these 2 a promise and a warning. He said, he that is of God heareth God's word. That's the promise. He that is of God heareth continually. Ongoing. Never stops. Heareth the word of God. But he said, you therefore hear them not. But you're not. Not of God. That's frightening. That's frightening. So after so long a time. 4. This is what leads up to verse 12. And this is our text here. Verses 12 and 13. 4. The Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Quick and powerful. If it's not quick to you and powerful, then you're dead. 1 Thessalonians 1 says, knowing, brethren, beloved of the Lord, your election, because our gospel, not false gospel, but the true gospel, our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost, much assurance. You became followers of us and received the word with much affliction, and from you sounded out the word, and so on and so forth. Quick. The word of God is quick. What's that mean? Quick. It means alive. It means alive. Why is the word of God alive? It's just written on paper. Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. This is the voice of God. God doesn't speak out loud anymore. But he wrote it in a book, and he has men speaking it out loud. This is why the hearing of the word is even more important than reading it. How shall they hear without a preacher? Because there's something that happens. There's something, there's a live voice and a live Holy Spirit and the word of God and the eye looking at it and the ear hearing it and the heart's engaged and eye to eye when the preacher of the word. A tape won't do that. It's quick. It's alive. It's his voice. Let me give you this illustration. The word of God is alive. It's his voice. And how you know you're alive? Because it's a savor of life to life. I'm alive. It's obvious I was born of my father. It's obvious, isn't it? All right? I grew up under the father. He begat me, his seed. And I was given life, ears to hear, eyes to see, feet to walk, okay? My father spoke to me, and I heard him. I heard his voice. I was alive. He spoke to me. And our Heavenly Father, Christ, said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear me. If I did not hear my Father, he would quicken me. He would get my attention. If I'm alive, I'm going to hear from him. The word of God is quick. It's alive. It's his voice. It gives life. We're born of it, begotten by the word of God. Like the child in the field of Ezekiel was dead and polluted and lying in the field. And when the Lord came by, he said it was a time of love. And he said, and this is what happened to that child in the field. The Lord passed by and spoke and said, live. And he lived. Not until then. Life-giving. It's life-preserving. The Word of God is life-preserving. We're kept alive by the Word of God. We're kept alive. Kept alive. It's a savor of life to life. If you're alive, you need to be warned. You need to be reproved, rebuked. You need to be comforted. You need to be consoled. You need some. You need these things. The Word of God is the voice of God. And He says things like this. Look! Look unto me and be ye saved. If you're alive, you look. Watch. Watch out. Your parents say things like this. Son, watch out now. Stop that. Run. Come. Now listen to me. This is the Word of God. It's His voice. It's His voice, life-preserving. Promises of God. Oh, keep us from despair. The warnings of God keep us from presumption. Keep us from sleeping. The sleep of death. The Word of God is quick. It's life-giving. It's life-preserving. It's a savor of life to life. It's His voice. And if God speaks, you will respond. You will respond. When He says, come, if you're His sheep, you will come. You will come. When He says, call, When He calls you, you will call. You will. When He says, confess me, you will confess Him. When He says, fear, you will fear. When He says, fear not. When He says, repent, you will repent. It's His voice. If you don't, you're dead. Dead. It's quick. When you think of quick, what do you think of? Quick, something quick. Fast. Well, that applies too. You know that? It's lively. Lively. Something that is lively, full of life, responsive. Responsive. If you're alive, you will respond to the Word. And the Word must come in power, though. And the Holy Spirit must send it forth, or else all you hear is a man. But and Paul said this one time. He said, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Our Lord spoke with great plainness of speech. He says He spoke as one having authority, meaning this is the way it is. There is no other way. You'll listen to somebody say that one. Not yea and nay or maybe, but this is the way it is. You listen to somebody like that. He spoke with great plainness of speech, not like the scribes. They said, not like the scribes, just giving information, a dissertation on a subject, or expounding a subject. No. With great plainness of speech. He stood on that great day of the feast and, ho! Any man thirst, let him come unto me. Great plainness. And when you hear the Word with power, you will move. You will move. If I stood up here this morning, one word, if I hollered one word, it would be enough to get everyone in here running for the exit. Fire. Repent. That's what God's Word says. And boy, if you hear it, that's what you do. Oh my. And usually the Word of God is quick. Usually the Word of God is swift, like an arrow. And I think back over the years of people whom the Lord has saved through the preaching of the gospel, and it's generally pretty quick. And I worry and deeply concerned about those who have heard the gospel for years and have never come to Christ. And those who hear it for years and become very dull and sleepy. Deeply concerned. The Word of God's quick. It's powerful. Powerful. Life-giving power. When our Lord said, He created this world by His Word. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And buddy, when the Lord gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you know what the gospel is. You know where salvation is. You know who it's in. And there's no doubt in your mind. There's no gray area. There's light or there's dark. And somebody says, well, this fellow's preaching the gospel, and it's not the gospel. It's this false gospel. I think, Lord, they don't have light. They don't have light. When I was saved under Billy Graham, you had received light. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's man is dead. When the gospel comes, the only power of God unto salvation, the gospel comes. God sends it. God does the choosing. God does the loving. God does the sending. God does the drawing. The Holy Spirit does the applying. Gives a new heart and ears and all that. Man, he's dead. It's all of the Lord. Any other gospel is not the gospel. It's not hard. It's just so. Light. It's no gray area. Well, I think. No. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Paul says, I know what happened to me. It's something that happened to me. I didn't cooperate. I didn't let God. Well, it's just a matter of terms, preacher. No, it's not. It's a matter of being raised from the dead. Life-giving power. And that's what that's the power of this gospel, the power of His Word. And there's no trouble in understanding these words. The problem is man's a rebel against them. But elect. Elect. What's that mean? Everybody knows what that means. Don't have to explain that. Elect. If I elect somebody, does that mean they let me? No. I did it. Elect. I did the choosing. I did that. This is the power of the gospel and the power of God's Word. And how do you know somebody's elect? Man stands up and preaches God's sovereign election. And they believe it. They believe. Life-giving power. Let there be light. Let there be understanding. Light. Let there be a new creature. Life-changing power. New man. Old things passed away. A new heart. Affections changed. If there's no change of affection, no life. The mind has changed. Paul thought he knew God. Thought he knew this Jesus fellow. Thought he was righteous. Thought, well, the Lord changed all that in a minute, didn't it? Just changed his mind. Mind. Mouth goes from cursing to praising. Feet swift to mischief. Start walking with God. Hands. Oh, this is the life-changing power of God. Life-giving power of God. Preserving power. Kept by the power of God. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. We're kept by the power of God. We're kept by hearing the Word. We're kept by feeding upon the Word. The Word of God keeps the soul that is alive, keeps us alive. You'd sooner quit eating and breathing than hearing the Word of God. Life. I don't get up in the morning. If you're alive, you don't get up in the morning and think, am I going to eat today? You hunger. This is life. Am I going to go worship the Lord? Am I going to thank the Lord? We ought to give thanks. The life of a believer is one continual heartfelt thanks unto the Lord. It's a life that goes out. It's a heart that goes out in thanks. This is what it means to pray without ceasing. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Wake up in the morning. Thank you. Your mercies are new every morning. Your compassions, they fail not. Thank you. Another day. Another more mercy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody going to preach Christ? I'll be there. The Lord going to be there? I'll be there. Lord, to all the disciples, I'm going to go before Him into Galilee. And He said, I'll be there. Any of them missing? No. Why? There's sheep. They've got to have a shepherd. The Word of God keeps us alive. And it's His voice that leads us. Lord, you know, like sheep, tell me something, please. Tell me which way to go. And He does. The Lord, the Word of God is His voice. It guides us. It guards us. Stop. Teaches us. Warns us. Comforts us by His Spirit through the Word of God. The Word of God's quick, powerful, sharper. Look at the next thing. Sharper than any two-edged sword. I got to hurry. Sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, Three times in the Revelation, it speaks of our Lord that the Word of God was like a sword out of His mouth. A sword is a weapon. First thing, it's a weapon. That's what it was created for. A weapon. The Word of God. And the first thing the Lord does with this two-edged sword is slay us. Break that hard heart. Pierce the impenetrable. It's the only thing that will get through to us, sharper, able to pierce. We can't get through. I know that. We cannot get through to our children. We can't get through to our whoever. Nothing can get through to me except the Word of God. This is why we pray, Lord, and this is why Paul said, brethren, pray for us. I'm standing up preaching the Word that's able. Any one message is able if God's willing. It's God's sword. If He's willing, He can take that Word and pierce that heart that hadn't been pierced yet. Pray. Sharper than a two-edged sword. It's a weapon to kill. It's a weapon to slay. It's an offensive. The offense of the gospel first. It's the offense of the gospel first. This is why we don't go telling rebels God loves you. He's wanting so badly to say, no! We tell them, God's angry. Scott used to say, stack your guns. Hit your knees. He will have mercy on whom He will. Might be you. Can't promise you that. That's what He used to say. Who do you ever hear a preacher say that today? Maybe. Stack your guns. It's an offense. Offense of the cross. There's got to be guilt before there's mercy. There's got to be justice, sir, before there's grace, before there's pardon. It's got to be. It's a weapon. It's a sword. Barnard used to say, I'm trying to kill sinners. The story has it, but the fellow said, Brother Barnard, you catch more flies with honey than you will with vinegar. And he said, I ain't trying to catch flies. I'm trying to kill sinners. Slay them. And we do that with the Word of God. But then it's a two-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword. It kills and it makes alive. It's a sharp instrument in the hand of God, the Holy Spirit. If he is pleased, it's a sharp instrument in which He opens the heart, breaks the proud heart, the hard heart, and opens it up and exposes and reveals cancer. And what's He got to do then? Cut it out. And that's painful. Got to remove it. Doesn't send pills to just take care of the pain. Got to remove it. The only one thing it did that, Christ crucified. And He opens that heart and reveals the disease, and with the same sword of the Word and the Spirit of God, heals that heart. Makes us guilty, and with the same Word, shows us mercy. It's all one place, Christ. Shows us God's justice and God's anger against sin, and shows us full and free pardon. It's all in one place, Christ. Christ is His sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is sharp. Piercing, look at verse 12. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Piercing. Oh, let's pray that the Lord will use His Word to pierce the hard heart. Pierce ours. And dividing. It says divides the soul and the spirit. Joints and marrow. Soul and the spirit. There's a difference between soul and spirit. All people have souls. Everybody doesn't have spirit. Soul is that which animates animals. They don't have a spirit. The Spirit of God comes, and the Spirit of Christ indwells His people. Now they're a living spirit. They're quickening. Christ says the first Adam was a living soul. The second Adam was a quickening spirit. And the Word of God is a discerner of whether or not he's just an animal. He's a child of God. It's a discerner. Divides. It separates the old from the new. The old man from the new man. Joints in the marrow. Some of you men have hunted and butchered your game, haven't you? It's tough, isn't it, Mac, to get that, sometimes get that sinew and all off the bone, or get that membrane off the meat and so forth. You know what I'm talking about. These sinews, and they are strong. They're attached. They're an attachment. An attachment. And only the Word of God is able to detach us from these lifelong attachments. Only the Word of God. Because they're so strong. Discerner, separator, divider. Our Lord said this in Matthew 10. He said, listen to it. You've heard it so many times. But he said, suppose ye that I'm come to bring peace on earth. He said, think not I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He said, I'm come to set a man at variance, separate from his father, and a daughter against her mother. There's nothing more close. There's no closer attachment in this world than family. And this is how you know it's of God. This is how you know. So discern. And when the gospel comes, he'll take a daughter who's in a home of unbelieving parents, maybe religious. He'll take that daughter and open her eyes and open her heart, receive the truth and love it. And she'll go to her mother and her father and she'll say, it's a false gospel. I've heard the truth. And I can't go with you anymore, Mom, to a place you go. I can't do it. Oh, honey, we all believe. No, we don't, Mom. No, we don't. Take a man, son, go to his father, or wife to her husband, or a husband to a wife, and say, and now they're close. They love each other. That'll never stop. Loving. But it'll make that husband, that wife, say to that unsaved spouse, we believe two different gods. And there's a separation. Has to be. This is how you know. They separate the goat from the sheep. Over here, my people are meeting, hearing the truth. Where do I go? I've got to be here. Separation. A discerner. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, it says. A revealer of our thoughts, our motives, our sins. And read on, and I quit with this 13th verse. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest, open in his sight right now. And there's not one person in this room that is not being exposed by the Word of God right now as I speak. There's not one person in this room who's not under the all-seeing eye of God right now. We're in his sight. And this Word of God right now is applying to every single person in this room. Dead or alive. Dead or alive. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And all things, it says, is no creature not manifest, clearly revealed in his sight. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The eyes of the Lord in every place. Paul said, have they not all heard? Yeah, everybody's heard it. Most homes have a Bible in their house. The Word of truth is a great exposer and revealer of all mankind. And what it does is first makes us naked. 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 No covering. We have no covering for our sin. Nobody. No excuse. No covering. It's the first thing it does. Makes us naked. All vulnerable before Him with whom we have to do. We must face. We all must face. Pointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. All to face God. Oh, may we be like Habakkuk of old. Habakkuk said, Lord, I have heard your voice and I was afraid. To this man will I look, the Lord said. To he that hears my word and trembleth. I heard your voice, Habakkuk said, and I was afraid. Let us fear lest there be a promise made us of rest that any of you should fall short of. I was afraid. And old Habakkuk said, Habakkuk is how you say it. Habakkuk. Oh, Habakkuk said, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the year. I'm a 45-year-old man, Lord. I'm a 50-year-old man. I've heard this all my life. But now, it's like I heard it. And would you revive me? Quicken me according to your word. David said that. Lord, I'd like I was dead. Quicken me. Quicken me according to your word. Send it quick. I'm going down. Or like Adam and Eve. Let's be like Adam and Eve. Adam said, and he would, this way you know, he wasn't dead. He wasn't dead. He said, I heard thy voice, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid. And you know what the Lord did? As soon as he said that, the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden that day. Adam, where art thou? Adam, he responded. I heard your voice. I was afraid because I was naked. And I ran. Bless God, he ran after him, didn't he? The Word of God sought him out and found him. And you know what he did? He told him about the woman's seed. In the next part of that chapter, seeing we have a high priest over the house of God, let's come boldly, might find grace to help in time of need. Naked sinner. He said, Adam, here's the remedy. Adam, here's the covering. And right before his eyes, he slit a lamb's throat. Adam, I love you. You don't have to die. You naked? Yes, I am. Afraid? Yes. Fear not. They covered him. He said, but you've got to go out in that world. And you've got to live a life. But I'm with you. I was afraid. I heard your voice. Oh, Lord, send your word. Make it quick. Make it powerful. Make it sharp. Pierce, divide, separate. Make naked. And then clothe us. Okay.